Welcome, everybody, to the Class Act Podcast. It is Friday, June 14th, the year of our Lord, 2019. And I just have one thing to say. Excuse me, I'm going to get a drink of water. Okay, here it goes. Fuck yeah! That's what I'm fucking talking about, baby! Warriors fans can kiss the fattest part of my ass. I fucking told everybody for a whole fucking year. Oh, Steph Curry is a fucking fraud. He's a front runner. He's a choker. He's not as good as people say. And people called me a hater. They called me a bronsexual. They said I was lying. And I wasn't fucking lying. I was right. And I'm going to take my fucking victory lap. And I'm going to be loud as fuck on this victory lap. Because I fucking deserve it. Because I was right. Steph Curry is a fucking fraud. The Warriors are frauds. They would have zero rings right now if Kyrie's kneecap didn't explode. And they didn't go crying to Kevin Durant in the parking lot in 2016. Those are the facts. Those are the facts. And I'm so fucking happy that everybody is finally starting to come around to what I already knew. God, it's so fucking... I haven't felt this great since my wife came back to me a few years ago, but that's a different story. Oh, this feels... This is just incredible. This is unbelievable. Thank you to the Toronto Raptors for finally putting these motherfuckers down. It was a little bit longer than I expected. No, that's what she said, but... They should have won this series. They should have swept this series, to be honest with you. But hey, I'm not complaining. It went six games. It just great. I'm even willing to overlook the fact that Canada legalizes bestiality because the Raptors won this title. That makes up for it. I love seeing the hypocrisy, the goalpost moving from Warriors fans, the same fucking fan base who has benefited from opponent injuries over the last 5 years. Oh, it's so fucking glorious. Just please, just inject this shit into my veins. I cannot get enough of it. Steph Curry is a fraud. He's a fucking fraud. And the stats show it. Steph Curry, in the last 24 seconds of the fourth quarter and overtime in playoff games, on potential go-ahead field goal attempts, the greatest shooter of all time, a guy who fucking makes half-court shots before the game look effortless, is 0-for-9. 0-for-9. He has a fucking donut. Zero. Zilch. Nada. Zero. 0-for-9. On potential go-ahead shots in the final 24 seconds of the fourth quarter and overtime of playoff games. And we saw it again last night. This entire series, the entire finals were set up perfectly for Steph Curry to silence his doubters, to silence his haters, and to silence people who've been saying that he's an overrated frontrunner, aka me. And guess what? He flopped. He failed. And I don't give a shit what his stans come and say, and they post his stats. Anybody who watched that fucking series knows that Steph didn't play well outside of Game 3 when he went off for 47 points. Okay, I don't care what anybody says. Besides one game, Steph was garbage. And that may seem harsh, okay? But this is a guy who was talked about and was called the greatest point guard of all time. The greatest point guard of all time. He's a top 10 player of all time. Well, if he is that, if he's a top 10 player of all time, and he's supposedly the best point guard of all time, and he's smack dab in his prime, and he has two other All-Stars, and he has everything going for him, and he doesn't live up to his expectations. He doesn't play to the standard that he's supposed to. And he got exposed again. He got fucking outscored on his home court by Fred VanVleet and Kyle Lowry in an elimination game in the finals. On his home court. In his last five home games in the NBA Finals without Kevin Durant, Steph Curry is 0-5. Okay? And it's not like he's playing with the Little Sisters of the Poor, folks. It's not like he's playing with the 2015 Cavaliers once Kyrie and Love went down. You know, he was playing, at least for most of the time before Klay got hurt, he was playing with Klay, he was playing with Draymond. He had good teammates to help him out, and he didn't show up. He's a mental midget. He shrunk. Okay? I saw it. You saw it. Everybody saw it. And he bricked a good look to win the game and to force a game 7 last night. He did. He bricked it. In the fourth quarter last night, 1 for 6, 0 for 4 from 3. Again, outplayed by Kyle Lowry and Fred VanVleet. It's inexcusable. It's inexcusable. Okay, I don't want to hear about how he had a tummy ache or how he had a little boo-boo on his finger. Poor little Steffi Weffi had a little boo-boo. He wasn't feeling well. He had a little boo-boo in his tummy. No, I'm not hearing any of that shit. I'm not hearing any of that shit, okay? Okay, this guy fucking choked. He got bailed out by Klay Thompson in Game 5. And really, Klay Thompson was the Warriors' best player in the finals. That motherfucker could not miss a shot. And it's a shame that he ended up tearing his ACL. Because, quite honestly, had Klay Thompson not gotten hurt, I think the Warriors win last night. Because Klay Thompson was fucking pulling up from 35 feet on fast breaks and making shots. Like, he was just unstoppable. He was incredible last night, and he had been incredible all series. So it sucks that he had to get injured. Everybody knows the big Durant, the Kevin Durant news also about how he tore his Achilles. I mean, his Achilles exploded basically on national television. And that, you know, and that's another topic. But I was saying like I said earlier, the stage was set up perfectly. This was supposed to be his time. This was supposed to be Steph's time. Steph's moment to step up to the plate and say, hey, this is my defining moment. This is my defining career moment. Every all-time great player has one of them. And this was Steph's chance. And he blew it. And he didn't show up when it mattered most. It's, as much as I hate Steph, there's a part of me that's like, all right, an all-time great player, I like to watch greatness. And when you see a guy like Steph continually crap his pants, it's on deep down somewhere, it's a little bit disappointing. But everywhere else, it's so glorious because his fans are awful. Warriors fans are awful, hypocrite, front-running bandwagon bitches. And I've been saying it all year long. I've been saying it for a while now. And again, people just dismiss me as a hater. They dismiss me as a bronze sexual. And all the Warriors fans crying injuries and asterisk. I didn't hear you saying that shit in 2015 when Kyrie's kneecap exploded. I didn't hear you saying that shit in 2017 when Zaza purposely injured Kawhi. I didn't hear you saying that shit last year in the conference finals when Chris Paul pulled his hamstring. Okay? So no, save me the sob story. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. As far as I'm concerned, the Warriors are 0-2 in the finals. Okay? Steph Curry is 0-2 in the finals, as far as I'm concerned. The two times he has played a healthy finals opponent without Kevin Durant, he has lost both series. That is a fact. That is an undeniable fact. And again, people dismiss me as a hater. They dismiss me as a bronze sexual. But everything I say is rooted in fact. Everything I say is not without reason. I study. I put in the work to research the evidence, to form my opinions. Okay? And people dismiss it because, oh, he's just a troll account, blah, 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 blah. No. Everything I say about Steph Curry is rooted in fact. And I was proven right once again last night. And you're a fucking fool if you don't think that I'm going to fucking boast about this for the rest of my life, because it is so glorious. And you could say that's pathetic, and it probably is pathetic on some count that this is what makes me happy in life. But hey, I don't give a shit, okay? I'm a fat white guy. I can do what I want. It's my life. Oh, it's just so glorious. Steph Curry, 5 NBA finals, 0 finals MVPs. It's the most, he has the most hollow resume of really any all-time great player. Because, again, like I said, as far as I'm concerned, in legitimate final series, he's 0-2. 2016 and this year. And I know, you're going to say, oh, well, he didn't have Durant. You know, Klay got hurt. Klay missed a game and a half. Okay, Klay missed a game and a half. And guess what happened? The Warriors lost both of those games. So, And I was told relentlessly, I was told endlessly that Steph's gravity makes every teammate of his better. His plus minus, his screen assist, and all that other bullshit. I was told nonstop whenever he had underwhelming performances in big playoff games. But his gravity, but he's screen assist. Don't you see how he's being trapped at half court? Oh my God, he's the box and one. Oh my, no, I don't want to hear it. I don't want to fucking hear it, okay? Okay? He's not the first superstar to be double teamed. His own fucking teammate, Klay Thompson, was draining three-pointers all series long with two hands in his face. I don't want to hear any fucking excuses for fucking Wardell Curry, who looks like a fucking raw chicken wing. I don't want to hear this shit. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of all these excuses for Steph. He deserves to get put on blast for this shit. I sat by and watched my favorite player of all time get docked for losing final series with fucking Drew Gooden, Ira Neubel, Larry Hughes, Sasha Pavlovich, Matthew Dellavedova, Iman Shumpert, Timofey Mozgov, James Jones. I've seen that. I've had to sit through it. I've had to sit through the slander. Jordan Clarkson, Jeff Green, it goes on. These were the guys that LeBron has gotten slandered for losing final series with. I don't want to fucking hear any excuses for Steph, okay? I am going full scorched earth on this motherfucker and the Warriors organization. And before you tell me, oh, Warriors, you got to respect the Warriors organization. No, I don't. Fuck them. They're condescending, they're pompous assholes, and they brag about being smarter than everybody else. The only reason they had Kevin Durant on their team in the first place was a huge stroke of luck. A huge stroke of luck. This fucking light years bullshit mantra that they try and put forward. No. Okay? It's about being in the right place in the right time. The salary cap spike in 2016, Curry's early career injuries, which made him underpaid. All of this shit had to line up at the same time. The stars had to align at the same time to get Kevin Durant to fall under the cap. And this is what happened. That's what happened with them. And again, all the opponent injuries that they've benefited from over the years, it's about time that they came on the Warriors' side. And look what happens when Steph doesn't have three fucking all-stars on his side. He loses. Okay? Like this, it's so glorious to not have to hear about gravity and screen assist and how Steph is like some magical, like, other being on another plane that, you know, I just, the disrespect that Warriors fans have shown LeBron countlessly over the last 5 years is just, they deserve all the shit they're getting. And the cocky arrogance that Steph Curry has displayed, all the shimmying, all the pointing fingers at refs and showing up referees and throwing temper tantrums and throwing his mouth guard into the stands when he doesn't get his way, he deserves all this slander. And he deserves to get exposed like this. And I am more than happy to do it. Now, if you want to kind of pivot away from Steph, if you're looking towards the Warriors next year, well, Durant's Achilles... Well, no, before I get into the future, what the future holds for the Warriors and really the rest of the NBA, I need to talk about a little bit more about the hypocrisy of the Warriors and their fans. For the last three fucking years, the only thing Warriors fans did was downplay every good thing Kevin Durant did. Every good thing Kevin Durant did when Kevin Durant was going off. We saw it a few months ago, like 2 months ago, when Kevin Durant was averaging like 40 points a game in the first round. And Warriors fans and Steph fans were all like, his points don't cut as deep as Steph. He's ruining Steph's flow. Steph can't get in the flow of the game because KD, and he's going ISO. He's ruining everything. The complete amount of ungratefulness that they had towards Kevin Durant and the things that he had done for them, it was appalling. And now, once Kevin Durant goes down injured, you want to try and turn around and act like you've been beside him the entire time. And it's not just Warriors fans; it's the heads of the Warriors organization. It's his teammates, Draymond Green, publicly saying, "We don't need you. You're a bitch," in November. Last year at the fucking parade, in front of millions of people on national television, Bob Myers, the GM, talks about how the Warriors don't need him because he just hopped on. The amount of sheer disrespect that they showed towards Kevin Durant, all to prop up their waffle-colored SpongeBob-looking god Steph Curry was disgraceful. And they deserve all this karma. They deserve all the karma. They deserve all the shit that they're getting right now. And they don't deserve to be successful. And I hope next year they go fucking 33 and 49 and some shit. I hope they bottom out because KD's not going to be there. Klay Thompson's going to miss most of the year. And if Klay Thompson does come back, you know, with an ACL injury, it's tricky. We're going to get to see what Steph Curry can do without an all-star team, without an Olympic team beside him. We don't know what's going to happen with Draymond. This is a big summer. So I'll start now. You know, I'm going to transition into more of the larger picture. I want to talk about the Raptors. The Raptors, I'll tell you what, you know, again, as a LeBron fan, I'm a little bit disappointed that LeBron didn't get to face this injury-riddled version of the Warriors over the last two years when he had historically dominant playoff runs. You know, he had to face the KD Warriors, which were unbeatable. But still, the Raptors were a very deep team. They were a very well-coached team, very well-constructed team. They had a legit superstar in Kawhi Leonard, who now has two finals MVPs. The Raptors deserved it. They deserved it. And it was, you know, they had guys like Fred VanVleet come out of nowhere. I thought that his performance late in the conference finals was an outlier, and I'm sure everybody else did as well. But hey, that motherfucker stepped up in the clutch. Kyle Lowry, all the jokes about him, hey, you know, and he had some bad moments, in especially late in game five, but he showed up big in game six with a chance to win the title. 26 points, I think, you know, 10 assists, I believe. I mean, he came out guns blazing in the first quarter. So, hey, you got to tip your hat and just give credit to Kyle Lowry for, you know, persevering through all the jokes. You know, you can't. Pascal Siakam, he's still a little bit inconsistent, but he showed up big in game six. Like I already mentioned, Fred VanVleet, you know, Serge Ibaka played well. Marc Gasol was a steady influence. And just, you know, they just had a very deep team and they deserve the title. They deserve it. And obviously, the big question now is what's Kawhi going to do? We don't know what he's going to do. I don't think anybody besides him knows what he's going to do. My gut reaction says that he might leave. And, you know, like, it doesn't matter. I think regardless of what he decides to do, obviously Toronto and the entire country of Canada is going to be okay with it. They're going to love him forever because he finally, you know, he brought a championship there. So I don't, you know, it's not going to be a Kevin Durant leaving OKC or LeBron leaving Cleveland in 2016 type situation because Kawhi brought the title there. Who knows? Maybe my gut feeling says that he's going to join the Clippers because it's close to his hometown. He's born in California. But again, I have no idea. I don't have any sources on the inside. But that's just what my gut feeling says. I already talked about what happens with the Warriors. They're going to be missing Kevin Durant for all of next year, or at least, you know, he ruptured his Achilles, so he's going to be out. Like I said, Klay Thompson tore his ACL, so he's going to probably miss the vast majority of next season. It's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Warriors. But I think what's going to happen is Klay was always destined to re-sign there. I think he's going to re-sign. I think KD is going to re-sign because, you know, why he's comfortable there in the Bay, all the familiar faces, and, you know, why I don't think he would want to go to a new team, you know, in a new part of the country and, you know, when he's already comfortable there in Golden State. So I think that KD will re-sign. I think that, you know, worst comes to worst, Kevin Durant, he can... you know, he has like a $32 million player option for next year. So, hey, you know, worst comes to worst, he's going to get a shitload of money regardless. And the thing is, people are saying, you know, it sucks that Durant had to get injured because he's one of the greatest players of all time. But he's still a bitch for joining Golden State. Like, that doesn't, like, him getting injured doesn't change the fact that he's still a bitch and he hopped on to a 73-win team to win titles. Like, that doesn't change. That's not changing. And that may sound cold. That may sound cruel, but that's just the fact. I hope that he's able to come back. I don't know if he'll ever be the same again because, you know, Achilles injuries are a serious injury. But, you know, he's not a guy who, and I talked about this on Twitter when it happened, you know, he's not a guy that's an explosive athlete. He doesn't rely on explosive athleticism to score points. He gets, you know, he has great shooting touch. He's got great, you know, wingspan and height. He can get any shot he wants at any time. So I don't think that he's going to be too affected by this Achilles injury in the long run because he's so skilled. But certainly a big blow. I think, again, it's Klay Thompson with his torn ACL, just a very, very unfortunate injury for him. He was the Warriors' best player in the finals. He really was. He shot almost 60% from three. It was like he had the game sliders up on 100 on his 3-point shot in the finals. He wouldn't miss. And he's been so durable throughout his career that it's shocking to know that he's going to miss a large portion of next season. I'll focus back to Kawhi for a second, and Kawhi really has one of the strangest careers and resumes of any basketball player ever. You look at his resume, and I'm pulling it up right now. All right, so he's a two-time champ, two-time Finals MVP. He's been All-NBA First Team twice. He's won two Defensive Player of the Year awards. He's been on the All-Defensive Team five times. He's made three All-Star games. I mean, that right there alone is Hall of Fame. That's basically first ballot Hall of Fame. And yet, he only has like 500 more career points in the regular season than Andrew Wiggins, despite being drafted 3 years earlier than Wiggins. It's one of the strangest careers I've ever seen. He has the accolades and he passes the eye test, but like the volume totals just aren't there. I mean, he's going to be 28 in a few weeks, so it's not like he's super young. It's just interesting how he has all these accolades at a decently advanced age, and yet his volume totals are really, really pedestrian. And again, a lot of context needs to go into that because he was drafted to the Spurs, and the Spurs, you know, shared the ball a lot, and he didn't come into the league as, you know, a guy who was a ball dominant player. I understand all that. I'm just saying, it's weird to see that. You know, he has all these accolades and his resume looks so accomplished, and yet his volume totals are just, you know, just so bare. In terms of the finals run, in terms of the playoff run that he just had, it was a weird run because he started the first nine games or so of the playoffs. He was like super efficient and he was ridiculous. And after that, like the last, I don't know, 15 games or so, his efficiency really, really took a dive. He deservedly won Finals MVP because he was the best player on the winning team. But watching the finals, I don't think he had a great finals series. I think that his best moment came in a loss. His most memorable moment was that you know, 10-0 individual run that he had late in Game 5, and the Raptors ended up losing that game. Like he wasn't great in Game 6 when they closed it out. Like, so it was a very, very weird, it was a weird final series overall, but I think, you know, Kawhi is he's one of the greatest players of all time, but I think his lack of volume stats at this point in his career and his age is very unique for a guy with his resume. If you want to look towards non-NBA finals related stuff for the NBA, the biggest story is what's going to happen with Anthony Davis. There's reports that the Celtics and the Lakers are really the two front runners right now for landing him. Davis reportedly wants to go to the Lakers because his agent Rich Paul is the same agent as LeBron. Obviously, anybody who follows the NBA knows that. Larger picture is that this free agency period is really with the injuries to Durant and Klay. This is really, really unique for what's going to happen over the next few years in the NBA. It's going to really depend on, you know, for a while there, it looked like there's no way that, you know, it's going to be the Warriors' title to lose for the next 4 to 5 years. Because once they signed Durant, you know, it felt like it's going to be countless titles. But now it's wide open. It's wide open. So I think what's going to happen is I think Davis will go to the Lakers. I think Kyrie Irving is basically, he signed a new agency. He's going to go to the Brooklyn Nets, which is really boring. I think that's boring. You know, because Kyrie on Brooklyn, I mean, you know, the Nets are just a boring-ass franchise. Who gives a shit about them? Let's see. I think the Lakers are going to trade, it just my gut feeling, the fourth overall pick. I think Lonzo and Ingram are going to be gone. They're going to hang on to Kyle Kuzma because his contract is cheap, even though Kuzma's really shitty. I mean, Kuzma's already old as shit for a third-year player. He's inefficient scoring. He doesn't pass. He's a horrible defender. Like, he really doesn't do anything well. But I guess his contract is cheap. And for the Lakers and LeBron, if you get Anthony Davis, that's obviously a big step towards the right direction. But LeBron, Anthony Davis, and a bunch of scrubs, I mean, that's not enough for a title contender. You still need more shooting. And again, it's wide open now. You know, for a while there, it looked like, hey, you know, there's no way that anybody but the Warriors was going to win. But now it's wide open. It's wide open, and teams got to be more aggressive in trying to go for that title window. So I'm really looking forward to what happens in this free agency period, and I'm really interested to see what happens with the Lakers, because let's face it, everything in the NBA in one way or another revolves around LeBron. Just look at the two teams in the finals this year. Okay, the Warriors, their team was constructed: Durant, Steph, Clay, KD. Durant, Steph, Clay, Draymond. That was built because of LeBron pushing their shit in the 2016 finals. They went and cried to Durant. So the Warriors were built because of that. And the Raptors finally got aggressive going after Kawhi Leonard because LeBron left the East after LeBron had tortured them for years in the conference playoffs. So everything in one way or the other, as much as people hate to see it and as much as people dislike LeBron, it's a fact that the NBA revolves around LeBron in one way or the other. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens. LeBron has a full offseason. He's had a full offseason of rest that he hadn't had since his second year. I expect LeBron to come out and have a MVP caliber season next year. And I expect the Lakers organization to, and I can't believe I'm saying this, but I expect them to not repeat the same mistakes that they made last year in free agency when they surrounded LeBron with a bunch of non-shooters. And as I mentioned, I think they're going to get Anthony Davis to pair with LeBron, which is a big step because that's basically two of the top five players in the world. But it's all about fit, and you can have top-heavy rosters, but you look at teams like the Raptors, they have a bunch of depth, and they have pieces that fit well, and that's the key. So the NBA, really for the first time since 2016, going into free agency, is wide open. And it's sad that it took a bunch of injuries to the Warriors for that to happen. But hey, I'm not going to be complaining. I think it's good for the league in the long run. And I think that after next year, the Warriors will be back and they'll be in contention again. But still, fuck them. I hate them. I fucking hate them and their fans. I'm obviously happy the Warriors lost, and I already talked about it, but as a LeBron fan, again, I'm just pissed off that Durant ended up going to Golden State. And I know this is kind of random, but hey, who gives a shit? It's my podcast. I'll talk about what I want. LeBron would probably have about at least 4 rings right now if bitch-ass Durant didn't join Golden State and Kyrie's kneecap didn't explode. It's hard to think about, but hey, you know, that's life. And again, Steph Curry's a fraud. Steph Curry's a fucking fraud. And I'm glad that everybody knows it. I'm glad that everybody knows it now. And Warriors fans can suck my dick. They can suck it. They can suck it and not stop sucking it, because I was right. I was right. I got a shitload of receipts on my profile talking about how much of a fraud Steph Curry is, and it's so glorious. It's my nipples are so fucking hard right now at all the Steph slander. It's so gracious. It's so glorious. And if anybody tries to defend Steph, I will be there to tear them down, because Steph Curry deserves to get slandered for his shit performance in these finals, his underwhelming performance in these finals. And by the way, his new little miniature golf show that's coming on ABC or whatever fucking sucks. It looks like it's going to suck ass. Okay. Hey, for all year long, Warriors fans and everybody who's making fun of LeBron for wanting to be for being a producer instead of a basketball player. But hey, what about Steph Curry? He's busy producing mini golf shows instead of trying to win finals. I don't hear anybody slandering Steph for that. Fraud. He's a fraud. Warriors fans are front-running frauds. They're spoiled bitches. In terms of other sports news, I mean, I guess there's... Oh, yeah. I don't follow hockey. I don't give a shit about hockey, really. But Boston lost Game 7 at home, which is just another little cherry on top to this delicious week of sports. Oh, good. It was such a delicious week. Just so... And also, the U.S. women's team scored like 13 goals in a game or something. I don't know. Who gives a shit? But really, that's my podcast. This is just an incredible week. I'm so glad to be able to expose Steph Curry and the bitch-ass Warriors with everybody. And believe me, it's going to be a great year. It's going to be a great summer of jokes. And I will be here to lead the charge. Remember, Cardi B is a rapist. Stay classy. And respect the troops.